Opa. It's a great big Greek hour ahead of us today on Travel with Rick Steves. Tour guides from Athens encourage us to explore beyond the big capital city into the historic sites and towns an hour or two away. And they'll help us choose a Greek island or two to relax in the sun of the Aegean or Ionian seas. We'll also share in the enthusiasm British actress Joanna Lumley has for Greece. She shares highlights with us from when she filmed her Greek Odyssey TV series a few years back. The days are long gone when the best thing about Athens was the road out of town. Today, the birthplace of democracy anchors an entertaining metro area of more than 3 million. And it also serves as a great springboard for scenic side trips and for catching a ferry or a flight to the islands. Let's start our Greek adventure looking for the sights of ancient Greece on a day trip out of the city. Tour guide Effie Perperi joins us from Athens to help out. Effie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick, for having me.
So, Effie, instead of focusing on Athens, I'd like to take a few minutes just to talk about the best day trips. Can you be our guide?
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure.
All right. So let's say we got 4 or 5 days for 4 or 5 day trips. What's the first one you'd take me on?
On an afternoon tour to Sunion. Sunion, it's actually outside of Athens, roughly about an hour and a half drive, depending on traffic. And the reason why you get there is to enjoy a wonderful ride all along the coast, which ends up at the Temple of Poseidon.
So just so if our listeners can imagine this, from Athens, of course, you can go to the port, that's Piraeus, where you get the boats to all the islands. But from Piraeus, if you take a left, you'll drive along the coast until the very tip, and that's where King Aegeus would stand on that cape and look out at the sea that's named after him, the Aegean Sea.
Waiting for his son, Theseus, to return from Crete, because he went there to kill the Minotaur.
So this was an important place today for Athenians, for tourists, but also 2,500 years ago in ancient Greek times.
Exactly.
And what do you find on the cape there, on the tip?
Right now, there is the temple and a little bit of the ruins of Athena's temple. There was another temple dedicated to Athena, Sunias.
Hmm. Wow.
But it's so impressive just to go there and to see these columns just standing there for 25 centuries, because it's almost contemporary to the Acropolis. So it's another classical monument.
You know, I haven't been there for almost, over 40 years. I went there as a backpacker.
And Hasn't changed much.
I slept in the rocks out there. I just sort of slept, and every day we'd go into the town and get our souvlaki, and we'd go back out to the rocks. And it was just a bunch of hippies hanging out in the rocks, and when they ran out of money, they'd sell some hair or sell some blood.
Well, this is the idea, even now. Now they have wonderful hotels, which are very expensive. But you can overnight at the beach or little places around the area. It's incredible.
Okay, take us to another side trip. That was a beautiful way to kick it off. We got the next day. Where are we going to go?
Next day, how about going to this island that everybody can see when they visit the Acropolis? And they ask me, oh, what is that there? Is this the Peloponnese? And I say, no, it's an island. So close. It's the island of Aegina. And right now, you can go so easily there, because you can hop on the subway, which is right across from the area where you can catch a boat to go to Aegina. And there are maybe 20 or 30 ferries going to Aegina daily. And the ticket's pretty inexpensive.
So it's just like a 45-minute ferry ride or something like that?
Yeah, depending on the type of the vessel that you're using. But in general, it is roughly an hour.
And we get away from the intensity of the big city. It's just like going into a very distant island, but it's so close to Athens.
It's a small island, so you can go around the island in just one day. As soon as when you get there, you can either stick around the city and visit Aegina, or you can take a taxi or public transportation and go to the other side of the island and do some sightseeing, visit the temple of Athena Aphaea. That's another beautiful temple dedicated to goddess Athena. There's a monastery of a modern saint, Saint Nectarios.
I remember a real sleepy fishing village.
Yes. There is the popular beach of Marathonas, where you can go for a swim. And numerous places where you can sample the pistachios, the Aegina pistachios.
Oh, I love pistachios.
Like the local product, yeah.
You know, Effie, I have a souvenir from Aegina. I've got a scar on my shoulder.
Oh, my God.
And I rented a little motorbike, and my I was eating the figs that were just growing there, and my hands were all sticky. So I was holding the motorbike with just my thumb and my first finger as I was driving. I hit a bump, and I went flying head over heels, and I learned my lesson. Don't drive your motorbike with sticky hands, but that reminds me every time I look at my shoulder of a wonderful, except for that, experience I had on the little island of Aegina. Effie Parapuri is on the line from Athens to guide us to some of the great day trip options from the big city into the sights and smaller cities of the Greek mainland. You'll find a link to Effie's Facebook and Instagram pages in the notes for this week's show, plus a link to her earlier interview with us about visiting the Acropolis in Athens. That's at ricksteves.com/radio. Let's go somewhere else. Okay, it's the next day.
The next day. So the next day you should go to the Peloponnese, which has more than one places to visit for as a day trip.
Okay, and we should remind our travelers that the Peloponnese is the big peninsula south of Athens, which is connected by a tiny spit of land cut to make the Corinth Canal. And you drive over that, which is pretty exciting, but there's so much on the Peloponnese Peninsula south of Athens. So where are we going on the Peloponnese?
Well, as soon as when you pass the Corinth Canal, there is a big rock, like a mountain, and on the top of it, there is another castle, which is called the Acrocorinth. And just at the bottom of this mountain, it's the ancient city of Corinth, which is well known to the people that love the biblical sites. But St. Paul, you know, he left his signature in the city.
So St. Paul lived in Corinth, and then later then, I understand, he wrote a letter to the Corinthians.
To the Corinthians, yes,
and that's
exactly
the letter that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. People tend to go there because they want to see the Bema, they want to see the place where he stood and spoke to the Corinthians, where he lived for a year and a half of his life. But it's a city that has a lot more to offer. You can see an archaic temple there dedicated to God Apollo. And then we have the Roman ruins of the city. So you can have like a little trip in Greek history.
And it's just about an hour away from Athens. I remember going there once with my TV crew because we needed one site that would give me many beautiful places to make on cameras. And in ancient Corinth, there is just so much to take your imagination away. Just beyond Corinth, just a little further, is my favorite city outside of Athens. And that's Nafplion. That was the first capital of modern Greece, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And Nafplion has a lot of similarities with Athens in a good way. For example, they have a main square, which is called Syntagma Square, like Constitution Square of Athens.
Syntagma and, means constitution then. So they celebrated it right there. What year was that when Athens won its freedom from the Ottomans?
1821. It's the beginning of the revolution. But in the early 1830s is when they established the new Greek state.
Okay, so Greece, welcome to the family of nations. And Nafplion is the capital. And today, when we go there, we see so much history. There's a fortress on the hill and a fortress in the harbor that would probably have a lion with wings on him.
Well, there is a fortress called Palamidi. And you cannot miss it because it's right on top of the city. And there is a legend about this fortress. It has steps carved on the side, which are supposed to be 999 steps. I've counted the steps. They're not 999. Ah. And everybody wants to race up to the top or walk down the steps after a visit. And they get a little bit disappointed because they count about 856.
You're 150 steps short. So, Effie, we've gone to Cape Sunion. We've gone to the island of Aegina. We've gone to ancient Corinth by crossing the Corinth Canal. And we've gone to Nafplion, the first capital of Greece. Just beyond Nafplion, there's a very, very impressive ancient site.
It's the ancient theater of Epidaurus. It's not just a theater, it's a whole site. It was the sanctuary dedicated to God Asclepius, the god of medicine, the god of health. And they built one of the best kept theaters in the world, the one with the best acoustics, which we get to use until now.
So there's still a sort of a theatrical festival there. And what they can fit 10 or 12,000 people in the amphitheater in the ancient times?
It's about 14,000, the estimation. Yes, it used to be half, but then they had, in the 4th century BC, they renovated the theater, so they added a few more seats. And it is the one which is known not for the capacity, but for the acoustics.
And the acoustics are amazing. And any tour guide, you've done it, I've done it. We stand in the middle of the stage floor and our groups are halfway up in this big 14,000 seat amphitheater. And we do the friends, Romans, countrymen, or you do the Greek equivalent of that, and people can hear you no problem at all without modern amplification.
That's true. Every summer, I always try to get a ticket to watch one of these ancient tragedies or comedies performed, mm-hmm. part of the festival that we just mentioned. So the acoustics are incredible. Even when it's packed, you can even hear the actor's breath.
It really, really works. Mm-hmm. Effie, thank you. I just love connecting with you and learning more about all the wonders of Greece. And we're out of time, but I would like to just close our conversation with you sharing a favorite moment that you've had with family or friends when you've gone to one of these places, not in your work as a guide, but just because you wanted to go have a nice day out. One favorite memory from one of these side trips from Athens.
Well, to be honest, Nafplion is one of the places that I get to visit again and again. Every time I'm done with Athens and I want to turn back in time, I just want to decompress, Nafplion is always the place for me that makes me feel very cozy, very intimate. And walking in the streets always gives me, you know, a smile. Looking at the bougainvilleas, sitting down and talking to people. And going to smaller places is always a nice feeling.
Yeah, especially after Athens. And this is to make sure people understand Nafplio, N-A-F-P-L-I-O. Just a couple hours drive south of Athens on the Peloponnese Peninsula. I was there for a wonderful Greek Easter. And at midnight, the fireworks go and you just have to run for cover. It is the biggest and craziest fireworks festival I have ever been in.
That's true, that's true. And cracking the eggs, huh?
Oh, we did the cracking the eggs too.
And after midnight,
fantastic.
You forgot about the huge meal, the Greek Easter meal, which starts right at midnight.
People feasting all over. They've been cooking their goat or their lamb on the spit all day long, and they crack their eggs to see who's going to have good luck or whatever in the next year. Hey, Effie, thanks so much for joining us, and you've inspired us to enjoy a little more as we side trip away from Athens and enjoy the best of Greece. Ευχαριστώ.
Ευχαριστώ.
We'll look at your options for island getaways in Greece. And Joanna Lumley shares adventures from her Greek Odyssey TV series. That's just ahead on Travel with Rick Steves.